Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Matt Derrick is on the line and ready to go, and my mic is hot. How's that for an original intro, Jake?
It weirdly sounds like echo, yeah. echo.
You know what? It was so good and straight to the point, I used it. And now, we'll get to the point with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Hello, Matt, how are you?
I am doing well, Stephen. I'm parked outside Blum Hall right now and watching the traffic trickle in to Lot J for training camp. So, it's here, baby.
You know, it doesn't feel right because, well, last year was so weird because we couldn't cover camp. And then this year, I'm usually up there for the first week, but I will arrive in St. Joe on Sunday and be up there for the whole week next week, which I'm very excited about, to return to the Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center. What's the vibe been like? What have the crowds been like? What is at least the first couple of days? I know that, you know, the full players haven't been there or anything. What's it look like right now as the crowds? I know isn't this like a season ticket holder only today? What's it looking like today as far as the crowd coming in?
Yeah, this is it's the first day with fans, and it is the season ticket member day. So we're about, 70 minutes from practice. So, hey, it's the hearty early arrivals who are here right now. That main parking lot, Lot J, if people are familiar with it, it's, I would say, maybe 150 cars, maybe. I mean, there's still plenty of parking. There's still plenty of space. So, like I said, it's the early arrivals, you know, and the Chiefs this year, they don't really want the tailgating at the parking lot, so you're not seeing any of that right now. It's they're trickling in right now, but I'm really interested to see what the crowds are. I mean, they are going to be capping attendance at these practices. I don't believe, last I checked, if they'd hit a sellout for any of these practices, the cap is pretty high, so that wouldn't surprise me. But I'm interested to see what kind of crowds that we do get up here.
How's it been different for you covering the team compared to past training camps?
You know, I mean, it's probably as close to normal as you could get at this point. I mean, you know, for media, we do have to wear the contact tracers. When we are around any of the players or coaches, do have to be masked. In the media tent, a little bit larger than in years past. They've set it up so that the seating in there is spread out. You got to be the chairs are about 6 feet apart. Cameras might be a little bit closer than that. I mean, there's still some spaces that, you know, that you just can't accommodate the spacing quite as much as I think that they would like to. But the numbers are limited. Not quite as many of us trying to cram it there, you know, from years past. I mean, you're on top of each other in that tent, and they've really tried to spread us out a little bit more. Fewer people, at least from a media standpoint, if they are limiting it. We are spread out more. There's, you know, less seating across the board. But honestly, I mean, the Chiefs, I think they've done their best to try and make this a normal training camp. And, you know, and certainly they want fans to spread out as much as they can because, you know, you can see, I mean, they've built a new hill on the other end zone this year. There should be some really great viewing areas. There's even bleachers on top of that hill. So you can still be pretty close. Yeah, you can be pretty close to the field but be elevated. So, I think those are going to be some really interesting views. So you should be able to find plenty of space out here. I don't think you're going to have to be packed in. And I know fans are going to be disappointed at the lack of player interaction because there's not going to be the autograph lines. You know, there's no helmet walk. There's even a dotted line on the field, on the sidelines, where the players aren't supposed to cross, so they're not getting too close to the fans. But other than that, I mean, I think if you, at first glance, you'd say it looks like a normal training camp.
You know what, why don't you, for the people that are disappointed that can't get autographs from the fans, What about what if the fans were able to get an autographed copy of At Last? Unforgettable 2019 season.
I will absolutely gladly devalue your copy of any of my books with my autograph.
See, I mean, my point is, you are available. If you have a copy of At Last, okay, all right. Take your copy of At Last and celebrate a championship, and Matt Derrick will sign it directly to you right after practice. Now, Matt, I don't want to open up this can of worms, but I kind of do, so I guess I will. yesterday,
oh, I love this.
Oh boy.
Yesterday, some people feel like Nate overreacted when he was out. Were you stunned? Were you in disbelief when we listened to Mecole Hardman's comments about not getting together with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason to work on chemistry or to work on anything? And we know Mahomes was working. I know he's working with the rookies. Tim Grenard told us about he's out there working at a high school with Noah Gray and Cordell Powell and other receivers. So we know it happened, and that happens a lot around the NFL. And Jake, if you want to find the clip, we can play the clip. If not, we can just hear what Matt has to say, because he said they weren't in the same vicinity, and so he couldn't work with them. So Nate, what was your reaction? And then we'll see if Matt thinks it's an overreaction.
Yeah, I would say that the two words you used, stunned, and I think the other one was disbelief. I find it shocking. If there was one person in the receiving core that I would have said, like, if you'd have said, like, hey, which guy needs to spend as much time as possible getting on the same page with Patrick Mahomes this offseason, I would have said Mecole Hardman. So the idea, and which, also, which guy stands to gain the most from, from spending time with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason? I would have said Mecole Hardman, because Sammy Watkins isn't back. There is a need for someone to step into that number two wide receiver role. Mecole Hardman has not shown yet that he seems to be in lockstep with Patrick Mahomes on the field. There seems to be all kinds of evidence that there's not a great trust factor in that situation right there. So, yeah, for all those reasons, I would have thought if you're a young player and you see the opportunity to take a big step forward in a big year in your career, this would be it. And so, yeah, I was shocked. I'm confused, and I don't understand it. Honestly, that was my reaction. Yes.
Okay. So play before you answer, Matt. For people that didn't hear it, here's the comment from Mecole Hardman, and then Matt, you tell us what you think.
Did you throw much with Pat during the offseason outside of practice?
No, I didn't get a chance to get up with him. We just wasn't in the same vicinities, when he was training and everything. But we got plenty of time in camp to get that chemistry down and the timing down. So it shouldn't be an issue.
Matt Derrick.
Yeah, part of me, as I would say, I'd probably need more information just to find out, how much that Patrick was throwing, because, part of it is, he was trying to stay off the toe a little bit, because he did want to be 100% for camp and wanted that to be completely ready. And, Mahomes has had a lot of other commitments this year, so I don't know if he threw with the players outside of practice as much as he's done in the past. I know that a lot of the guys I talked to, especially Tyreek Hill and some of the vets and everything like that, they said that they took a little bit more time off this summer and spring than they had done in the past, because they're coming off two really long seasons. They've played more games than any other team in the league the last couple of years. Their season's been at least 2 weeks longer, 4 weeks longer than anybody else in the league combined the last couple of years. And last season was just as draining that, I think that probably Mecole Hardman's not alone. I think that there were probably other pass catchers who didn't get together with Mahomes this year. It would not surprise me at all. But then again, to Nate's point, if you're Mecole Hardman and you want to be on Tyreek Hill's level, you really need to see what Tyreek Hill has done in the past years, because, he has been one of the hardest working receivers in the league as far as, getting outside coaching working on his own. Anytime that Mahomes wants to throw, he's there. I mean, that's the kind of, if you want to be a number one receiver in this league and you want to be that guy, yeah, that's the commitment that you got to have, is that if your quarterback wants to get to work, you get on a plane and you find him. So it goes both ways. I mean, like I said, I can see that maybe it was more difficult this year just because of the circumstances. But at the same time, yeah, you get the opportunity to throw with your guy, catch with your guy, you got to.
So what are our expectations? Like, what does Mecole Hardman need to do this year for us to say, okay, this draft pick was right, and he's living up to what they need from him?
I mean, I hesitate to say that he's got to replace Sammy Watkins, because I don't know that he can do that. I mean, he's just a different receiver, a different style, a different body type. So I think that's a lot to ask. And that begs the question then that, you know, I mean, Mecole Hardman is certainly more in the style, the body, and the technique of Tyreek Hill. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be difficult, I think, to get maybe as many opportunities as maybe he wants, or maybe fans think that he needs to get. Because I think it's just difficult for two receivers like that to both be able to put up big numbers. I mean, if I expect Mecole Hardman to be a 1,000-yard receiver, honestly, I don't, because I think it's just going to be really hard for him to do that unless, for instance, the Tyreek Hill gets hurt and Hardman just gets a lot more opportunities and is the primary receiver on more plays. Other than that, I mean, I think that there are other receivers who are going to get those opportunities, those targets that would normally go to Watkins, and you're going to ask other receivers to do some of the stuff that Watkins would do off the ball. I mean, I think that's just the reality of it. But at the same time, you need to see a step up. I mean, he's been a pretty consistent guy the last couple of years. Other than, you know, last year, you saw the explosiveness wasn't quite there. I mean, he went from, what, 20 odd yards per catch to, I think, 13 yards per catch last year. So the big play wasn't there. He's got to be able to make those big plays. And, you know, and we saw a lot of those big plays left on the field last year. So to me, you know, a successful year for Mecole Hardman, I think it looks like 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, and, you know, making big catches, big play, making big plays on the field. If you don't see that, then I think you've seen just Mecole Hardman the same three years in a row. I think he'll end up looking like the same receiver if he doesn't miss that.
We have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com on the line. All right, fellas, how about a nice game of scenario? Who wants to play that? Not the same game that Aaron Swartz used to make us play, because that was we would not be able to mention those things on the radio. But this is football scenario. Jake, are you available to be Jake the GM?
Right, sure now? Thing. The hat's there on. The hat's on.
Here we go, Matt Derrick. All right. Scenario. The Chiefs work out an extension with Tyrann Mathieu and create enough cap room to then go make a trade with the Miami Dolphins and acquire Pro Bowl cornerback Xavien Howard, who is now demanded to be traded from Miami. In a very lengthy Instagram post yesterday, he said, "I'm one of the best corners in the NFL, and the tape backs up that claim. Yet, I'm the second highest paid cornerback on my own team, and it's not even close. That's why I want to make it clear I'm not happy and have requested a trade. Until that trade happens, I am just here so I don't get fined and will handle myself like professionals do." Matt Derrick, then Nate, and then Jake the GM. Matt, what do you say?
Do you know what's funny? Because I can't remember what Howard's cap number is this year.
Well, it's crazy because he's the sixth highest paid corner in the league, and Byron Jones is right ahead of him at number five. So Byron Jones is making $16.5 million, and Xavien Howard's making $15.1 million next year. So he's literally $1.4 million behind Byron Jones, who's
like
the fifth highest paid corner in the league. They're the fifth and sixth highest paid corners going into 2021.
In 2019, Howard signed a 5-year, $75 million deal that at the time in 2019 made him the highest paid corner in the NFL.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. You have got to make the deal with Tyrann Mathieu first. And, yeah, I mean, some of that cap number will go away because the Dolphins will have to eat it on the guaranteed, you know, signing bonus, everything like that. But, you know, I mean, if he's not happy with what he's being paid, then between the lines he's saying he wants a new contract wherever he goes. And that's trickier because Chiefs have plenty of money going around right now as it is. Can they afford another mouth to feed? That, I don't know. On paper, I think it's a fantastic move. Pins on the Chiefs and Super Bowl champs if they're able to do it. But I just, from what I read in that statement, if I'm the Chiefs, gosh, I'm really hesitant because, you know, can this guy be happy knowing that he's not probably going to get a new deal, and two, not going to be the highest paid player on the team by far. And honestly, if he's still around in 2 years when L'Jarius Sneed gets his contract extension, he's probably not going to be happy with that either. So I don't know. I mean, it's a very soft pass for me, but my staff could talk me into it.
Hard pass. Hell no. Hell no. Keep this guy out of my locker room.
Yeah, that's pounders.
Hell no. Let's I'm go. Not calling you. I'm not giving
Jake
you anything
the GM
for this guy.
Is pissed.
He's not enough of this guy.
No, if I'm the Dolphins, I say hold out. Hold out. We'll find you. Every day you don't show up to camp, you get $50,000. We're finding you. Sit out.
Now, he said he's not going to do that. He's here so he won't get fined. He's going to show up.
That's fine. Show up.
He's going to be disgruntled the
whole
time.
That's fine. Be disgruntled.
He's going to act like a professional.
It's ridiculous.
You know how many interceptions he had last year?
A lot. He's really good.
Just tell me how many.
What do you have, 8?
How many do you have, Nate?
8 sounds right to me.
10.
Yeah. He's damn good. I mean, we saw him firsthand.
Yep.
Right.
He's damn good, but come on, man.
Hey, he's not even the highest paid corner on his own team, and that will not stand. I like the fact that he wants to make sure that his teammate knows I should be making more
than
you, bro.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
I'm better than you.
What? Like,
I'm way better than you.
Like, the Dolphins have the 5th and 6th highest paid corners in the league.
Not enough.
That's ridiculous.
He should be at least the 4th highest paid.
First, no.
Right.
Nope. Right. Nope.
I get it.
I don't.
Matt Derrick is anxiously awaiting hanging the phone up and going to cover practice. But
I'm picking up the phone. I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling the Cardinals and saying, Chandler Jones, what's up?
Okay, hey, you want Chandler? Would you make an offer for Chandler Jones, Matt? While we got you thinking of ridiculous trade scenarios, what about that one?
I mean, that was not completely out of the ballpark. I mean, I could see that one. That one would not bother me as much. But I still think it's hard. Again, I think it's hard to make the numbers work.
Right. That's right. Hey, we just think of trades that are impossible on paper.
That's what we do here.
It's training camp. All we do is talk about signing players that are still on the street and making dumb trades. All right, so you're getting ready to go in and cover practice that starts at 9:15. Tell me maybe the top three storylines that you are going to be following that you think will be interesting to the fans that come up and are watching practice. What do you think are the best battles? What do you think are the most interesting storylines to follow up in St. Joe?
Yeah, if you want to know where my binoculars will be, it's going to be on the right side of the offensive line. I want to see who's starting with the one, what the rotation is, who's on twos and threes, how everybody's working in. Definitely interested in that. At the cornerback rotation, I mean, I certainly expect Sneed and Ward to be at the top of that. But then it's really, you know, what does this defense look like when they're in some sub packages? Who's the three guy? Where's Sneed playing? Is he going inside and outside? I'm interested in all that. And I mean, I will definitely be keeping an eye on the wide receiver group where that rotation sorts out. But I think we kind of probably know at least who the characters will be there. But I'm going to keep an eye on the rookies. I mean, especially, you know, Nick Bolton and not a rookie, but Willie Gay, linebackers. I want to see how they look. I want to see what the rotation is. I want to see how Bolton is adapting, how much he's getting in there, where he's playing, if he's getting some run with the ones, anything like that. I mean, to me, those are what I'm going to be at least keeping an eye on today and most interested in as camp goes on.
You know what I'm going to keep my eye on up there?
Try to keep an eye on me to make sure I'm not in trouble.
Well, you and then Mahomes. I was watching him all practice.
You know why? Because I want you. Because the entire time is not a bad, for your entertainment value, that is not bad at all.
Right. That's maximizing your time up in St. Joe, I can promise you that. Matt, before we let you go, tell us where they can, all our listeners can read your coverage of training camp.
I've got my camp reports up every day at ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. You can check out Chiefs Digest on Facebook as well.
Do you have any final comments for Matt before he goes to practice, Nate?
No, man, I just, keep those binoculars focused in the right direction, that's all.
Right.
I will do my best.
What's that even mean?
What the hell does that mean, by the way?
Matt, I was going to say something like, stay hydrated.
What are you accusing him of?
It's going to be a hot morning, like... Stay hydrated.
I don't know. Just for some reason, the image of Matt with his binoculars there kind of caught me. It was like, he's out there. He's going to have those binoculars looking around. So,
We're talking about Matt.
He's not going to be like midnight. He's not going to be behind someone's bushes or nothing. He's out there practice. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I'll be using my binoculars to spy on whether Kansas is meeting with the Big Ten or the Mountain West.
Listen here, buddy. Listen here. No. You better watch yourself.
Oh, no.
Friendly fire.
Well,
friendly fire.
Here's the deal. You thought you were getting off the phone, but now, Matt Derrick, as a member of
the I'm a Missouri fan. I'm in the conference. I'm me.
As a member in good standing of the SEC, what do you say to Nate Bucchetti in his time of need right now?
I've heard some of Nate's ideas, and I just have to say, come on, man. I mean, you gotta beg the Big Ten. You do not
beg nobody. I don't have to beg anybody, pal.
Bend the knee, Bucchetti.
I still remember it was a Wednesday night. I got home after night out with the guys. I came home, and that was at the absolute bottom when. Good grief. It looked like the Big 12 was falling apart. Mizzou had no home. And like, oh, God, we're going to be in the Mountain West. This is going to be brutal. That's going to be like the only conference left. What are we going to do? So, yeah, I just could not be more relieved that Missouri's in the SEC, that we don't have to live through the stress. If you're Kansas, come on. You just get yourself to the Big Ten, and you will never have to worry again.
Get yourself right, Nate, is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get for the binocular comment, Nate.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't be mad at him for gloating. You painted him as some kind of pervert about 5 minutes ago for, no reason.
Right.
But hey, Matt, watch where you're pointing those binoculars, huh?
Right.
It's an inside joke or like he has a history of this.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I mean, Matt? No one knows what you mean. What are you talking about? Matt, I apologize. Yeah. I have full confidence that those binoculars will be pointed the right way in the entirety of practice.
And they should be aimed at Mahomes.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
And I'm sure that Nate will be having dreams about me with binoculars.
Well,
smoking a cigarette, looking at with binoculars.
Such an uncomfortable.
Hang the phone up fast.
Yeah, there you go. That's the end of this conversation.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt's on good.
Take care,
ChiefsDigest.com. I don't even know what...
Damn!
I thought you were gonna say, hey, see you up there sometime. Good luck, whatever.
Yeah,
I did just send my proof of vaccination and negative COVID test to Brad G. I'm clear.
Right.
I'm clear and free to go up to a training camp at some point.
I thought maybe be like, hey, let us know how the young corners are looking.
Right.
Like really,
Yeah.
That's a big question.
I'm just making sure you can keep those binoculars pointed in the right place. That's all.
Hey, you have any final words for Matt before he goes to practice? Yeah, watch the binoculars, mouth breather. good guy.
I didn't call him a mouth breather.
Might as well have.
There used to be a mouth breather up there all the time that would take, unsavory pictures sometimes at training camp. I'm not accusing
about?
Matt of being in that category.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Well, there used to be a guy that covered the Chiefs on a consistent basis that had pictures that showed things that didn't need to be shown,
What?
I'm a little confused myself.
The guy was just hanging out.
Just, What we're going to do now is break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's break.
Yeah, and I have an important message for you out there.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.